Thank you for listening to the Damage Report podcast, the show covering the true threats facing our country and what you can actually do about them. You can support this free podcast by leaving us a review and giving us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you happen to be listening to it. Every review helps more people discover the show at no cost to you. Welcome back to Election Week on the Damage Report. I am John Iderola. Still, despite all that's happened this week, it was another one of those days that made us start the Damage Report. You wake up, you check the notifications on your phone, and you think, dear God, what have we wrought? Brett's here. Thanks,
Brett. Hi, I was not here Monday. Today is Thursday. I am here. Brooke will be on tomorrow. Everything's going to be reestablished in terms of the general order of things.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna fix the timeline, get everything, you know, like you might be looking at a faded photograph. Everything's gonna be good. Brooke will still be here this week. But there's a lot that we're gonna cover. Obviously, we're gonna be starting off with the Thousand Oaks shooting in just a little bit. But through the course of this hour, we are gonna be talking about the White House spreading obviously doctored footage to attempt to bar a journalist from access to the White House in the future, which should be one of the biggest stories of the day. Let's see, we've got Bernie Sanders on some of the election returns. What was helping to determine some of the wins and losses and tight races that we're still wondering how they're gonna go. Don Jr. is apparently running scared, so that should be a lot of fun. And there's other bad news though, RBG in a bit of trouble. And then at the end, Brett was able to track down a JP Morgan analyst has done an analysis of midterm losses for the party in power based on the strength of the economy. And Donald Trump has apparently made history. So that will be the amazing fact of the day a little bit later on.
Great. I'm happy to be here. I am sad about the first story that we have to kick off the hour.
Yes, it is
literally close to home.
It is very sad. I, like many people across the country, woke up to find out that Thousand Oaks, which is not far from where we are right now, and Brett, my co-host today, has spent a great deal of time there, was the site of the latest mass shooting in America, assuming that there hasn't been one since then that I haven't seen the news of. But this was the big one, where a suspect shot and killed 12 bargoers and a sheriff at the Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks. The victims include Sergeant Ron Hellis, a deputy with the Ventura County Sheriff's Department, and 11 people who were attending a college night event at the bar. Hellis, a 29-year veteran of the sheriff's office, was one of the first officers on the scene. He was shot multiple times and died in the hospital from his injuries. He was 1 year short of retirement. And they have identified the person who did this is a 28-year-old. I'm choosing not to put their name out there, but it is a, well, and there it goes at the end. A US Marine Corps veteran who is known to law enforcement. The sheriff said, we've had several contacts with Mr. Long over the years, minor offenses. In one of those previous contacts with him, he was somewhat irate and acting irrationally. But a mental health specialist who spoke with him at the time said that he did not feel that he was qualified to be taken into custody at that time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So this is a place that you are familiar with.
Yeah, actually. I used to go there every Wednesday. Like, I don't know if it was Wednesday, maybe Tuesday. But Borderline is in Thousand Oaks. Thousand Oaks is 40 minutes north of Los Angeles. It's in Ventura County. It was interesting when you hear about a shooting that takes place there and you think of Borderline, which is itself a country western bar. We used to go there because they had line dancing. It was something fun to do on a weekend. But when you heard about this, one of the first things I thought, in addition to all like the normal things, was there's probably police officers there.
It's sort of a bar where you would normally see police officers.
Thousand Oaks, Simi Valley, while they're in two different congressional districts, they butt up against each other. There's that, Westlake. Thousand Oaks and Simi Valley went back and forth. And Simi Valley is where I'm from. But Thousand Oaks went back and forth with Simi in terms of being the safest cities in America of over 100,000 people. Mm-hmm. And so when you hear about shootings in Thousand Oaks, like, you know them. And you know that last year was the previous shooting in Thousand Oaks, but that was a domestic dispute at the Oaks Mall, which is just across the freeway and over. But when the sheriff came on, like the official sheriff of the area came on TV this morning, to discuss Gesundheit, to discuss what happened, he said that there were six off-duty cops who were at the Borderline who stood in front of people to try to shield them. But it's one of those things where, like, in Thousand Oaks, you just don't think of this thing happening. Guns in Thousand Oaks, yeah, Thousand Oaks, Camarillo up north that way, Simi Valley too. Like, there are gun owners there. Mm-hmm. The Ronald Reagan Presidential Library is like 4 miles away from where this happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is in terms of what's happening in that town. It is largely white. The main industry is kind of biotech. The Amgen is up there. And this guy was a former Marine who just went in and shot a bunch of people with a handgun and an extended magazine. It's just a creepy, it's creepy, terrible. There were some very, shocking, terrible, touching at the same time footage of people who were there describing what happened. Like, this is an all ages night. This is when, and then one of the main people that got interviewed in the local news is a father who went there with his son and he apologized to everyone else that he wasn't sticking around to help because he tried to get his son out. Mm-hmm. And he got his son out.
Yeah, I read that
people didn't make it out.
While it was going on, people were breaking windows on the second floor to try to flee from there.
It's a big place. When you first walk in, that's where the office is, that's where the bar is, and it's more of a bar place in the middle, and then you go around back, and it's a large dance floor. Hundreds of people can fit into Borderline. And apparently the guy walked up, shot the security guard. There's eyewitness accounts from someone who was across the way, saw the man lift his arm, mm-hmm. shoot, thought it was a prank, but then continued to shoot and went in. And then when you're talking about the sheriff who was shot.
The deputy
who got, or the sergeant who was shot and killed, he went in to do what his job is. And how was he to know that he was going up against a trained Marine mm-hmm. Who got the upper hand on him, unfortunately, and then took his own life, according to accounts, inside the bar.
Yeah, that is certainly believed. So another shooting.
The extended magazine itself is illegal. The one that he was using, people have it. I mean, I know other people from Camarillo, which is just over mm-hmm. the hill, who have like gun safes full of illegal assault rifles that they own and they can get. Because you can get it, you can customize it yourself. I know people who customize gun accessories that you're not allowed to have in their own garage.
Or you could buy them from states where it's not illegal.
Yeah, and that's how they do it.
With Chicago, of course. And I saw the NRA was already trying to blame California gun laws. I don't understand what would have been better if he'd had easier access to an AK-47. I don't understand what that's supposed to be. I also saw Senator-elect Marsha Blackburn was, I believe, on CNN. And the host says a bunch of stuff about the shooting and asks, what do we need to do? And Marsha, literally the first word she says was, we need to make sure that we protect the Second Amendment and our people. But she put the Second Amendment before the people.
Which is so frustrating.
By the way, $1.2 million was spent by the NRA in ads that were for her or against her Democratic opponent. And they are getting a return on their investment today in the wake of another mass shooting.
Yeah.
And as many people have pointed on Twitter, congratulations to the NRA social media team who will enjoy a 4-day weekend now. And we'll see them on the other side.
Right.
Because they always just go dark. They don't want to say anything. They send out, Dana Loesch to accuse the victims of being responsible for this. It's ridiculous. Can we bring up this chart? We do this sort of thing every time. Let's bring up this chart. How many guns the country has from left to right, how many mass shooters it has. That is basically the most strict definition of mass shooter that I've ever seen. There is one outlier, and it is the United States. It's not a coincidence that more guns leads to more shootings. And that seems obvious, I think, to most people. But expect that politicians will be all over TV today saying that it would have been better if all of the college students had been armed. And if, there were cops there, probably armed. There should have been more cops, and they should have been heavier armed. And there should be automatic sentry guns all over the place in every bar and everywhere that everyone congregates. More guns, more guns, more guns. We keep dying, they keep selling more guns. One of us is benefiting. Seems pretty clear at this point who it is.
Absolutely, financially. And then just a really quick thing that's worth pointing out is they're going to protect the Second Amendment, but they're going to go after the 14th Amendment, which is the Birthright Citizenship Amendment. So it is obvious, and I feel ridiculous that I have to point it out, because the reason I feel it's ridiculous is because one side is acting quite ridiculously in picking and choosing which amendments to the Constitution that they, to the Bill of Rights that they actually want to protect. Yeah. And it is so transparent to me, the reason they want to protect it is financial interests and not mm-hmm. security or safety interests. The NRA wants to make more money off selling more guns. They will take this day off and they won't have to do anything because mm-hmm. in the wake of mass shootings, typically what happens, and we're seeing certain cracks in this as the shootings tend to affect more children, and in this case, college students at Cal Lutheran and Pepperdine, which are both close by. Cal Lutheran much closer. Moore Park Community College is really close to that. Cal State, Channel Islands, and all the way up through that. But as time passes, it just becomes clearer and clearer that they are going to protect the Second
Amendment. We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Amendment, but not any of the other ones.
Yeah, including the first, which we'll get to on the other side of this break.
They'll cite, in this weird way, freedom of speech, but that's only because they have a different agenda and they're not actually protecting anyone else's freedom of speech.
Yeah. Stick around. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Lots of news to get to, but I did want to briefly mention several more congressional called races. We've been still waiting. Some still have not been called, but as of this morning, Lucy McBath, the Democrat, has been declared the winner in Georgia's 6th district. Kim Schrier, the Democrat, the apparent winner in Washington's 8th district. And Katie Hill, the Democrat, apparent winner in California's 25th district. All three are Democratic gains, giving Democrats now a net plus 31 in this election cycle. And again, there's still a lot to come. It's possible that, you know, the ones that haven't been called will cancel out. Based on what I'm seeing, it looks like that might actually happen. But this 31 could still become 33 or 36.
Yep. I know a lot of people who went and canvassed for Katie Hill, and that Georgia pickup is a big pickup because it was deeply, it was pretty deeply red.
Yeah. And also on Georgia, Brian Kemp has now stepped down. A little bit late. The election's over, but he has stepped down as Secretary of State. So if this does go to a recount, which it looks like it probably will, that is what Stacey Abrams is pushing for, and the race is incredibly close. You know, there's still new votes outstanding and things like that, let alone all the voter suppression. Hopefully we will have a recount. He will not be directly overseeing that.
Yes, supposedly. But all the people that he appointed within his, but that would have happened anyway if the right thing happened, which was for him to personally recuse himself. But in situations that we are talking about now where like Jeff Sessions recused himself, the replacement was somebody. Yeah. I don't know the specific individuals, if they're legacies from previous bureaucratic formulations, but this is what should have happened a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Brian Kemp should have recused himself. Stacey Abrams, here's my dream situation, is all these uncounted ballots come in Georgia, if no one gets 50%, and as there were in Georgia in this case, there were there was the Green Party person, even though they stepped down, they still were on the ballot. If no one gets 50% of the vote, then they do a runoff between the two. Mm-hmm. He's recused himself. And then it's actually a fair fight. But then again,
you would still have the past voter suppression.
And there's still continuing investigations into the voter suppression allegations. And I mean, up to 700,000 votes are under investigation with these lawsuits that are being brought against Kemp's office. So we'll see. But yeah. I like it. What do you think about someone like Stacey Abrams saying, "No, I'm not gonna give up. Are you kidding me? I'm not gonna do that concession."
Yeah, well, look, I don't always think that they should stick it out, but if it's this tight, which it is, and if, especially with this gigantic cloud hanging over the race, and again, if I don't think there are a lot of haters watching this show, but if there are, this isn't like a day after thing where it's like, "Well, we got a chance, we gotta stick in there." And now we're worried about voter suppression. We've been talking about this all year in Georgia. It has been a gigantic story, especially in the months leading up to the election. We were worried going into it, and it looks like our worries have been vindicated, and now we have a chance to, we'll never know for sure exactly what happened, but with a recount and a careful analysis of a number of groups of votes that he attempted to block, which I'm gonna go on a limb and say might favor her. I think he probably wasn't just randomly saying no to these votes. It is possible that the result could flip.
And right
but
now,
not guaranteed.
The reporting through the AP is that gap is a little over 60,000 votes out of about 4 million.
Jesus.
And if you say 700,000 cases of voter suppression and conservative estimates being 50,000, and there's a little give and take in there, and then who knows what could happen? Hopefully,
we don't
it works
know.
Out for Stacey.
We don't
but
know,
I like
but I like that she's
strong.
Fighting.
And I like it.
I saw that Bill Nelson is doing the same. I don't know about Gillum, but I would like, you know, we got time. We can do it. It's 1 point, okay? And it's too important. Just look into it. If it turns out that Ron DeSantis still won, then we'll lose a little bit more respect for our country and we'll move forward.
Right now, Brian Kemp, with the current results, is at 50.3%. So, 0.3% if he loses that.
And the runoff
dips beneath 50%, then the forces are.
Who is the third party candidate? Is it a Libertarian?
Libertarian Ted Metz.
Okay, so it, likely it could benefit.
But in a realignment and in a place with such a deep legacy of complex realignment as Georgia, which, you know, the last vestige of the old South situation to die. As I've said on this show, I think before, like they kept Democratic governors in place until I think 2004. And not because they were voting like the rest of the Democratic Party around the country. That, I think it was Purdue, whoever became the first Republican governor did so as a result of Georgia not eliminating but reducing the size of the Confederate flag on the state flag.
Which is both true and I think your favorite factoid.
It's my favorite
in
factoid.
In the entire universe.
And I'm pretty sure Georgia's state flag is, is changed to a reimagining of the stars and bars, which is the literal Confederate flag.
Yeah.
They do this.
Rather than the
it
battle
is,
flag.
It is, it's not the this, it's not the X, it's the one that looks like a three-striped American flag. It is the Confederate flag. The current Georgia flag is the Confederate flag with the Georgia seal inside the circle.
Yeah. Horrible. Yeah, we still got a lot of work to do. Okay, but we do have a lot of other stuff to get to. So let's move on. Jim Acosta was involved in a bit of a scuffle, metaphoric, not physical. Let's be clear about that. Yesterday at Donald Trump's press conference. Now, I would like to say right off the bat, I understand that this is the sort of battle that Donald Trump wants to have rather than media coverage being on the fact that he suffered a disastrous result in this midterm election. So understand as we go forward, he had that disastrous result. That said, Jim Acosta is being banned as of right now from the White House. His pass is being revoked. You can see Sarah Sanders tweeted this out. We stand by our decision to revoke this individual's hard pass. We will not tolerate the inappropriate behavior clearly documented in this video. But as Jonathan Larson has pointed out, she apparently misspelled doctored in that video. Because here is the video that she tweeted right there. You saw it. And oh my God, he is Jackie Channing her arm there. It is amazing that her elbow didn't split open as he's hitting it. And so that is the video that she spread. And it looks like he's like chopping down. Now, look, I'm exaggerating. What, even what is in that video, I mean, who cares? Like she's reaching across his body. He's turning as she pulls him. He's not hitting her or anything. But you'll be shocked to find out that what you saw in that video also isn't even accurate. If we could play the second video, you're going to see the actual video.
If I may ask one other question, are you worried?
That's enough. That's enough.
Mr. President,
that's enough.
I was going to ask one of the other folks.
That's enough.
Pardon me, ma'am. Mr. President,
that's enough.
Mr. President, I had one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation.
And what you can see in that video is that his arm didn't shoot down in a chop motion. It lowered. It lowered. Now, both of these are absolutely benign contacts between people. But it is odd that in the one that the press secretary put out there, the video has clearly been sped up to make it look like he violently hit her arm. And you can tell that not just by the speed of the motion, but also the fact that in her version, the motion is jerkier. It has fewer frames because if you don't have high frame rate video and you speed it up, that's the result. That is why in her video, it looks choppy and jarring. And do you want to move to why they have this?
Well,
or
people, just on the video itself, people have run side-by-side comparisons of the two.
Or overlaid,
yes. And you can see the difference.
Yeah, it is just faster. Different.
And the idea that, I don't know. We can talk about Jim Acosta generally and his role in all this. Mm-hmm. Jim Acosta, yes, he is thinking to himself, this is my moment. Generally, as someone who has covered a lot of press conferences, he has said, this is my moment. Whatever. No one is momentizing this last 2 years more than Donald Trump has. Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump in the interaction saying, that's enough. I think if anyone should be apologizing in this, if anyone should be held accountable for being terrible to a young lady, I think it's Donald Trump for sending an intern, a White House intern, to go steal a microphone from Donald Trump. And she feels so awkward because, I mean, the way it typically works in those kinds of White House press conferences is if you have follow-up questions, you ask follow-up questions. Mm-hmm. And everyone else, all the other reporters, they're kind of in it together and they wait. They make a judgment call in that point and say, all right, Acosta's gotten two. Now I'm going to ask my questions because I was given the floor. But typically, they do wait. They let him ask his follow-up question. But the look on the face of this White House intern when she has no idea what to do because the president sent her to go take the microphone, she looks around and then she ducks. Mm. And then finally to kind of imply that there was some kind of improper activity on Acosta's part.
Mm-hmm. It's absurd.
The next words out of his mouth are, I'm sorry, ma'am.
I'm sorry, yes. So look, let's get to where she got this from. So this is not a retweet that she did. She went into Twitter, uploaded a video. So where did the video come from? Well, the first place that people have been able to find it is a reporter from InfoWars, a far-right conspiracy website that is so terrible that it has been banned from multiple social media platforms. One of their reporters is spreading this around. He has been caught. But they don't actually admit that they do this. Conservatives are still saying, I can't tell the difference. I'm looking at these two videos and they look identical to me. Apparently, we've got some hosts from Westworld. This doesn't look like anything to them. But you can see the analysis. You can show the videos overlaid over each other. It was clearly sped up to make him look like he assaulted her. They're saying, many on the right saying on Twitter, that he should be facing battery and assault charges for what you just witnessed in that video. So that is where they got it from. How Sarah Sanders came across it and decided to put it on Twitter is an interesting question. It makes me think, by the way, of the way the country reacted aghast at Michelle Wolf for pointing out that Sarah Huckabee Sanders is a liar. She's literally spreading doctored video. And they're doing that to ban him. So really fast, Jim Acosta has responded on Twitter saying this is a lie to that tweet that we showed you. Don't believe the lies coming from the White House. Believe in our freedoms. Thank you all for your support. We won't back down. First Amendment. Which is interesting because we've had a lot of talk in this country about the First Amendment and protection of free speech. And that has been used to cover so many things that are not actually in any way a part of what our Constitution is protecting with that. But this is literally what it is. This is government action against a media outlet. And they are spreading doctored fake news to ban someone. And going beyond it, I want to show one more video. So Fox News, Trish Regan, look at how she spins the video that you just saw.
I know that you also have a background. I don't mean to spring this on you last minute, but in sexual assault cases, et cetera. What's your reaction to that video that we saw there where Jim Acosta is sort of wrestling this young White House intern to keep the microphone? And as such, tonight, we have just learned moments ago, he is no longer going to be able to have his hard pass, his reporting pass, to be there at the White House. What do you say about that? And then we'll move on to Sessions.
Trish, I was hoping we'd have the opportunity to talk about it because I was floored by Acosta's conduct, and revoking his pass was a necessity given the way he conducted himself. Forget unprofessional. That was just unbelievable.
Okay, so it was a necessity to take it away. So you saw those videos, even the doctored one. It was a necessity. He wrestled with her. And also, maybe you can comment, since you have a background in sexual assault cases.
Yeah, well, yes.
This is state media.
What it is.
Russian state media is looking at this and giggling. Like, you guys are taking it too far. You need to dial it back a little bit.
What is happening on that show is that woman who was brought in to give her commentary is going to say yes to everything. Yeah. And why does she say yes to everything? Because she wants to come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the most certain way to ensure that you are invited back tomorrow on Fox News is to do that thing you think you're supposed to say, because odds are you are supposed to say it, especially when the setup question is as leading as you are an expert on sexual assault.
Yeah. This is a big day for Republicans pretending to care about violence against women.
So we have seen two videos pertaining to purported sexual assault that are in question, at least, framed by Fox as sexual assault and by CNN as, or everyone else as the other. And it's the grab them by the P word, and there's this. And the two sound bites to come out of that are grab them by the P word and I'm sorry, ma'am. Oh my God, put that on a t-shirt. I can't wait for them to go and put that on billboards. Jim Acosta, evil. He said, I'm sorry, ma'am. After she wrestled, he wrestled with her.
He wrestled her.
He had the microphone. She reached around and as a reaction, he kind of put his arm over it.
Yeah, I saw someone pointed out on Twitter, he must have learned those moves from Maxine Waters. Anyway, we're gonna take a short break. When we come back, more news out of the White House after this. With the rhythm, go. That's right, everybody. So much news to get to. Thank you, Brett, for being here.
Hey, it's
great
to be here,
John. We're finally not just talking about the election. We're going to talk about some of the results of the election, at least the secondhand political results.
It's great to have these conversations on the show as opposed to during the pre-production phase outside.
Exactly, which we also enjoy. Okay, let's move to other news. Don Jr. is apparently running scared now that we're past the midterms and Mueller might be coming forward with something, assuming that the new acting AG doesn't cut the entire thing down to size before it happened. He is apparently a little bit worried about being indicted. 2 days ago, Gabriel Sherman reported that White House officials are concerned about Don Jr. One White House official said, I'm very worried about Don Jr. They fear that Mueller is going to be able to prove perjury in relation to the Trump Tower thing. And deep in a report about Trump's 2020 campaign plans, Politico drops the news this morning that Trump Jr. has told friends in recent weeks that he believes he could be indicted.
Because he did wrong.
Yeah, so what is this about? I mean, theoretically, it could be about a lot of things, but what it seems most likely is he had the Trump Tower meeting and he said under oath multiple times, I didn't tell Donald Trump about it. Which, look, hey, family loyalty, that's great that you're trying to protect your father. That doesn't make any sense. There's no way that that's actually true. And whether you believe me or not, apparently the belief is that the Mueller team has now been able to prove that that is not true. So he perjured himself, and so there's the possibility of an indictment.
And he's doing, and this is what's so like epically sad about it, is he's doing an impression of his father the whole time, saying whatever he wants to be true, believing he's above the law. But really the only person with the highest chance of being above the law is Donald Trump, because he is currently president.
Yeah.
And constitutionally, it shakes down to that.
Yeah.
But it is going to be so sad. I mean, it might potentially be so sad when, by doing an impression of his father, he ends up indicted.
Yeah. But what's interesting is that at the same time that, as you say, he's sort of, this is coming about as a result of him being more like his father. If the news coming out of the White House is true, that, you know, sources are saying that he is worried about this, that does show sort of a grasp on reality that his father doesn't actually match. Donald Trump seems so oblivious to what's going on, but Don Jr. apparently gets, I lied, they might have discovered it. If they did, I'm in legal trouble. Hey, he dwells in a reality-based world at least once or twice and not on Twitter.
Yeah, but I don't know specifically what happens with Donald Trump behind the scenes. And I've seen reports where he is frustrated and angry, but yes, I don't know.
Well, we're gonna have a little bit of that in just a minute, actually.
Yeah,
but
okay.
We'll have to see with Don Jr. If Mueller does actually have something, if he comes forward with it, if it's not destroyed, that is obviously the plan that is in action today. We're gonna be talking about that a little bit later on. They are trying to shut this down. If so, that would be a good day for Don Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on. If you watched yesterday's press conference with Donald Trump, this is a guy who is claiming victory in the midterms and talking about how everything is great. Except that everything in his body language and the way he was interacting with those reporters shows this is dark Donald Trump. This is dark days for Donald Trump. And that's not just coming from progressives. Conservative columnist Jennifer Rubin said, welcome to an even worse version of Trump, defensive, cornered, possibly looking at indictments of more aides or family members. Democrats must hold him and his enablers accountable, understanding that in all likelihood, they're building a case to vote him and his GOP lackeys out in 2020. And so to some extent, look, if he's brawling with the media in a press conference, that's not really all that different. But his social media activity, his tweets since the election, they look to me like a guy who is scared that things could be developing fast in some of the areas he's most worried about.
Yes. I mean, he has... Okay, so we have Jeff Sessions out. Mm-hmm. There was a time before when Jeff Sessions went out and the replacement was appointed. Mm-hmm. And that appointment was Rob Rosenstein to oversee the Mueller investigation. So we have a precedent for what happens when there's no Jeff Sessions, essentially. Mm-hmm. In this situation, Trump did not assign Rob Rosenstein to take over as acting attorney general. They passed him over to a chief of staff. Mm-hmm. Who is on record as saying that I don't think the Mueller investigation is allowed to go past whatever red line, literally in this case. I guess it's figurative.
I get it.
But yeah, thank you.
Yes.
But yeah, so.
Yeah, and we're gonna get more details on that guy in the next thing. But,
okay.
But yeah, I think that Donald Trump, he's like his son now. He's the grown up version of his son. I do think that he should be worried. Look, maybe not even primarily about the Mueller stuff, but this is a guy who loves control. He doesn't like when things are difficult. And so legislatively going forward, he has these plans for tax cuts and attacking Social Security and Obamacare, all of these things. That has just become a whole lot more difficult. This is not a guy who has any interest or talent in reaching across the aisle and working with people. Maybe we'll see that, but I don't think he's expecting that will be easy. And that means that suddenly this job, which has been relatively easy with unified government, looks a little bit more difficult this week.
It wasn't easy with unified government. He only got his tax cut passed and judges.
Yeah, yeah. So now imagine. Mm-hmm. Okay, with that, we're gonna take one more break. When we come back up, Bernie Sanders, both on the big change with Jeff Sessions and some of the races from Tuesday after this. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Obviously, yesterday, the big political news, Jeff Sessions is out. And I think we all had a brief couple of minutes of, woo, he sucks. And then, oh God, what are they doing? It is happening before our very eyes, the plan to destroy or at least derail the Mueller investigation. Getting rid of Jeff Sessions is second only to getting rid of Mueller in terms of the importance of accomplishing that. So we're gonna talk about that, but I do want to mention one of the responses to this coming from Bernie Sanders, a guy who's been very worried about this sort of obstruction of justice in the past. He tweeted out, President Trump must allow special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation to continue unimpeded. Any attempt by the president or the Justice Department to interfere with Mueller's probe would be an obstruction of justice and impeachable offense. So not just more obstruction of justice of the sort that we've already seen over the past 2 years, but this would be impeachable in the eyes of Bernie Sanders. What do you think about that?
That is something that has been said before by different people, including but not limited to like Lindsey Graham, in effect.
Yeah, Lindsey Graham used to talk a big game on this particular issue. Suddenly he's busy. He's catching up on the Haunting of Hill House. He can't talk now.
He is such a weenus. He's talking all the time, but those things are like, thank you, sir, may I have another? Can I do anything for you, Mr. President? Because I want to be attorney general.
I haven't seen him. No, but he doesn't want to.
But not attorney, but he wants to be that go-to guy.
Yes, he wants to be the go-to guy. I haven't seen him directly respond to him previously saying a year ago that there would be a holy heck to pay if he fired Sessions. Now he's been fired. Holy heck, it turns out, not so bad. It really hasn't been much. Republican Party doesn't really seem to care.
Yeah, it's hard to imply the severity of a word that is itself a euphemism for a worse word.
Yeah, exactly.
Heck.
Well, he didn't actually say heck.
Said,
I'm saying heck just in case. Yes, he did. I know that we can say it. So, look, the guy who's taking his place, Matt Whitaker, I did a live breakdown after he was announced. But by this point, you've seen this is a guy who got into the public eye of Donald Trump, at least, by going on Fox News and defending Donald Trump. This is a guy who has spoken out repeatedly against the Mueller investigation. He has made up these insane red lines that he says Mueller can't cross, that we know is in the charter that established the special counsel's investigation. So he has lied about that repeatedly. That is why he's being chosen. That is why Rod Rosenstein is not already the new AG. They've instead gone to this guy because of what he has said about Robert Mueller.
Yes. It is, and I would keep him. If I'm Trump, I keep this guy as there's already an acting deputy, something, associate attorney or something like that, that has been acting for years. Mm-hmm. And Trump himself is acting as president to the best of his ability. But I would keep this guy 100%. And that's why you get him in right now immediately. Mm-hmm. There have been reports that Mueller is starting to type up the final report. Mm-hmm.
Type fast.
What's that?
He should type fast.
But Trump said, you know, as opposed to waiting an extra week for after the election for Sessions, which at reports say at Sessions' request, he wanted an extra week before he stepped down. Trump said, no, we need you out. We need the new guy in. And yeah. I would keep that guy because every other person who's out there is a lifetime politician. And yeah. we have seen what happens to lifetime politicians in this particular situation. Mm. And the thing about Sessions was he smelled that his best strategy for becoming attorney general was latching on to Donald Trump super early. He did that. But as a lifetime politician, he knows that he needed to recuse himself mm-hmm. to self-preserve.
Yeah.
And he did that. And now
and he's
been
punched in the face by Donald Trump over and over because of that.
Right. But he got to be attorney general.
He did.
And he'll go
yeah.
back and probably run for, I mean, it's potential that he could run for his old seat
it's
the
possible.
Next time around because this was a special election. It's only, what, another year?
Yeah. Basically, yeah. Yeah. And look, I know that there are some people that think, so it's our obligation to cover political developments. This is a massive one. But some people might think, well, I'm still not convinced that Robert Mueller has anything. And I get that. I'm not saying that Robert Mueller has something. I'm saying Donald Trump is acting like Robert Mueller has something. You do not go to these insane lengths, potentially right here, obstructing justice. We're not calling it that right now. But you don't go to this like constant lengths of attacking Jeff Sessions. Why aren't you protecting me? Why aren't you protecting me for 2 years? And then you force him out. You get this loyalist to come in if you honestly believe that Robert Mueller doesn't have anything. They're acting like people who desperately need to shut this thing down. You don't know why they need to shut it down. I don't know why they need to shut it down. But they are telegraphing to everyone that that is their only strategy at this point, is to kill this thing before it gets out there.
Yeah.
And by the way, to that, Matt Whitaker has previously said that he believes that legally we might never see the results of the Mueller investigation, whether it continues or not. So get ready for that possibility if he becomes the actual AG.
I can't fathom Matt Whitaker being the actual attorney general, but I can fathom Trump keeping him there as long as he needs to.
Yeah.
Because this guy says he will put that thing in the bin mm-hmm. and never see the light. It'll get out. I think there's no way that it wouldn't get out.
I hope so, now that they have control of, you know, some of those committees, or will. Do you want to briefly talk about some of your research on who might replace him?
Yes.
If it's not him.
I get these notifications, and one of the notifications was that Pam Bondi. And so here's the first one. The first one is that Pam Bondi, who is the Attorney General of Florida, might be the replacement, which is hilarious. Because one of the reasons that Donald Trump Jr. is so afraid that of the results of this investigation is he's afraid he's going to get indicted for how the Trump Organization and Foundation were handled. Pam Bondi is the person who was under investigation because she quashed an investigation following getting $25,000 from the Trumps.
So it was an investigation against the Trumps. She killed it after being paid by the Trumps.
Yes.
So that is politically damaging to her, I guess, if she is nominated to be the AG. But we do live in crazy times.
It's
they
so
like
great.
To.
I think he should absolutely 100% put Chris Christie in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Christie was another one on this list of reported replacements. Scott Dworkin, who kind of sensationalizes things a lot, but this is absolutely factually correct, tweets, Chris Christie doesn't have a shot in hell of AG. He put Kushner's dad in prison.
That's a good point.
That's absolutely
That's
true.
That's the sort of thing you remember.
Yeah, so the rest are just different names of people.
So Alex Azar, obviously we're very familiar with Pam Bondi. Trey Gowdy.
Rudy Giuliani.
Honestly, would we be shocked if it was Rudy Giuliani? He can barely string together a sentence, but would we be shocked if it was Rudy Giuliani at this point?
Well, here's the thing about Rudy Giuliani and Chris Christie. Those were two people that as soon as Trump won, folks were like, well, there's the attorneys general right there. And then that failing, maybe Chris Christie would be in charge of the transition team.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them got the shaft. Now the question is, have they spent enough time in the penalty box?
Yeah.
To atone for their sins? And did that teach them that they should be loyal to Trump at all costs?
Yeah.
Who knows? But I think if it's Chris Christie, Chris is going to be like, have at it, bud. Just he's going to say, yeah, I don't care. Here's the results of the Mueller investigation. What do I care? I put your son-in-law's dad in jail.
Yeah. Also, you banned me from eating Oreos. That literally is a piece of news that happened. Trump said you can't eat Oreos anymore. Now, look, yes, there are better cookies, but still, he's a grown-ass man. He's going to eat what he wants.
I think we need to have some kind of cookie eating study to see which one is the best cookie, but I'll take your word for it for now.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to take one more break. When we come back, a little bit more for you after this. Welcome back, everyone. Terrible news this morning, obviously of a variety of different forms, but one that it is getting covered a little bit. Ruth Bader Ginsburg apparently had a bad fall in the last day. She's 85 years old and she fractured 3 ribs in a fall in her office at the Supreme Court, actually. As of right now, she is in a hospital, so this is at least significant, if not some sort of critical injury. She called Supreme Court police to take her to George Washington University Hospital in Washington early Thursday after experiencing discomfort overnight. She was admitted to the hospital for treatment and observation after tests showed she fractured 3 ribs. So she is such an OG, a BA, whatever 2 letters you want to put together, that she fell, broke multiple ribs, just got back to work.
Yeah.
And then realized, oh, this is serious.
Yeah, that's overnight. So she slept on it. Because she deliberates. She's a deliberator. She weighs all the facts and then she makes a reasoned judgment.
She weighs all the facts and she weighs 35 pounds.
She does. Oh my gosh. She's a frail young lady.
This is just the latest of her many injuries. She broke 2 ribs in a fall in 2012. She's had 2 prior bouts with cancer and had a stent implanted to open a blocked artery in 2014. She was also hospitalized after a bad reaction to medicine in 2009. But despite all of that, she has never missed Supreme Court arguments. After many of these things that would have sidelined me for a long time.
I need her to, you know how you childproof a home?
Mm-hmm.
We need to foolproof her office.
Everything should be bouncy.
Should it be a ball pit or something? Maybe just a full ball pit so she has support as she wades through it. Mm-hmm. Also, just put her on some kind of life support already. Like some kind of thing that no matter what happens, she will stay alive.
Yeah, look, I know that you think you're thinking big, but you're actually thinking small. What we're gonna do here at the Damage Report is we're gonna put a phone number down at the bottom. This is a place for you to begin donating organs, limbs, skin, whatever. Just let's island this thing. Let's Black Mirror this thing. Twilight Zone, start handing over body parts to keep her alive. I saw that Shannon Woodward, the actress of Westworld, said that she wants to donate her entire body if that thing exists.
I'm fine with it.
So hopefully we can do it. Because here's the thing, like she is awesome in her own right. She's got a movie coming out, sort of documenting her life because of the amazing path that she has been on.
She directed it, she wrote it,
she starred in it. She starred
she did
as
all
the young
stunts.
Version of herself. Mm-hmm. No, but if she ends up having to retire as a result of these injuries and a need to take care of herself, I don't want to say that that is then a disaster for the left, because that implies that we have not already experienced that disaster. The first seat that we handed to the Republicans automatically and knew that we would hand to the Republicans if Donald Trump became president was a disaster. The second, so taking Scalia's, not taking it, that's a disaster. The second one was an absolute disaster. Accused sexual assaulter is on the Supreme Court. If they get this third one as well, like, never, ever accept the argument that you should not be thinking about the Supreme Court when choosing who to support for the presidency. That was obvious when one Supreme Court seat was up for grabs. With 3 or potentially 4, I mean, we're talking about basically having to write off the Supreme Court for not one generation, but longer if it comes to that.
Well, I feel like if you really are committed to not caring about the Supreme Court, why don't you just find a way to vote for someone who's from, like, Vladimir Putin to be the actual president? Why don't you do that? Why don't
well,
you go?
You have to be American born.
I'm saying, like, why sit it out?
Mm-hmm.
The effect is the same of getting someone who is completely antithetical to your own personal interests to be president. Why stop at Donald Trump? Maybe it wasn't apparent how terrible it's going to be. We needed to make it more apparent.
I think some people could not accept that it could get this bad, that this many seats could be up, But here's the thing that
how could you know
people.
That? She's only 85 years old.
Yes, I get that. What I'm saying is, like, it is one thing to accept that this is bad for this many conservative seats, under Donald Trump. But if you care about eventually having progressive government, getting President Trump, getting a progressive caucus, getting control of the House and the Senate, well, now lingering over all of that, this sword hung above our heads, is the fact that they will then have to contend with a conservative Supreme Court majority for literally decades at this point. Now, maybe we can still accomplish a lot of stuff, and this is the only path, so we still have to walk it. But now it is going to be much more difficult to get what we want and to keep what we want when the Supreme Court will be conservatives trying to strike down and limit everything that we do for the rest of our lives.
Yes.
Bear that in mind, please.
You got 30 seconds. Talk about this chart, Josh.
I would like to. Can we put up this chart? It's not going to make any sense. Super fast, this chart. Okay, we probably don't have time for that. Okay. JP Morgan analysts show that you're not going to be able to understand it. Maybe you can screenshot it. It shows that controlling for the economy, inflation, unemployment, all of that, Donald Trump's midterm performance was literally the worst in over a century. So don't believe his lies about how great everything went for him. It was actually a disaster.
Shouldn't have done this bad when things were going this good.
Exactly. Thank you, Brett. Great to have you on. Thank you for watching. We will see you tomorrow morning. Thank you for listening to the Damage Report podcast, the show covering the true threats facing our country and what you can actually do about them. You can support this free podcast by leaving us a review and giving us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you happen to be listening to it. Every review helps more people discover the show at no cost to you.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.